Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Arauco's first quarter 2013 results conference call. Today, we have with us Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a Q&A session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star 0 to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of the management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risk, uncertainty, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Arauco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. Mr. Gianfranco, you may begin your conference.
Okay, thanks. Good morning to everyone, and welcome to this conference call for the results of the first quarter of 2013. As usual, in page number 3, the agenda for today is composed by a financial review, a summary of the first quarter, and then we will go a little bit deeper into each business segment, and we'll talk a little bit about the outlook for each of those. And then we will have a couple of slides about the first quarter and subsequent events, and a round of Q&A at the end of the conference call. Page number 4, just as a summary, we, during the first quarter of 2013, had a revenue of almost 1.2 billion, which was 2% lower than the fourth quarter of 2012. Our adjusted EBITDA came to be $236.2 million, that is 12% lower than the fourth quarter of 2012. Our net income was $93.5 million, which is $11.8 million higher than the last quarter. And our net debt stood up to almost $4 billion, which is 1% lower than the fourth quarter of 2012. Our CAPEX was 22% lower than the fourth quarter and was a total of $128 million. In page number 5, we have more detail about the income statement, and you can see there the decrease of 2% in the sales of the quarter, which is basically explained by lower sales in some timber and pulp divisions, by 10% in some timber and 3.8% in pulp. Those effects were partially offset by a 6% increase in the panel division. Our cost of sales went down, basically explained by lower volumes of sales in pulp and some decrease in the unitary cost of production of pulp. The decrease in financial expenses, as you can see quarter over quarter, was explained basically by a higher than usual financial expenses that we recorded on the fourth quarter due to the refinancing of the Flakeboard debt that we did in November 2012. In other operating income, we had a decrease also of $67 million. That is, the explanation is basically that during the fourth quarter, we recorded some income because of the claims that we received from the insurance from the Nueva Aldea fire, the last part of the claims, and a claim that we received from the insurance because of the turbo generator in Valdivia. That was an old claim that was from 2011 that we closed the claim and received the money at the beginning of this year, but we recorded the gain in at the end of last year. Finally, we have a detail over there of the composition of the EBITDA that was 12% lower than the quarter. But the main explanation there of the reduction is that on the fourth quarter we had a higher than usual EBITDA because of the claims of the insurance that we received during the quarter. If we go to the cash flow in page number 6, the cash flow from operating activities, we have a slightly higher collection of receivables of $25 million. We have $43.9 million in other cash receipts, That is also the explanation is because of the cash collection of those insurance claims that we received at the beginning of 2013. And those effects are partially offset by a higher than usual payment of suppliers at the beginning of this year. In terms of cash from investment activities, we can see there that there's a 17% decrease, which is basically explained by a lower capex during this quarter, and that is a result of the lower cash budget that we have for 2013, which is around $500 million, which is in line of what we receive, what we spend during the quarter. In terms of financing activities, we paid more revolving debt rates of financing that we renewed, so that's why we have a reduction in the pre-export financing during the quarter. Page number 7, you can see there that our net financial debt stood more or less the same, a slight increase in short-term financing debt, and cash and cash equivalents that were almost the same at the end of last year. This in the short-term debt, we are including the $300 million that we have to pay of the bond maturity in July 2015. And we can see also that the net debt to last 12 months EBITDA went down from 4.6 to 4.3 times, which is in line with our projection for reduction of leverage during the year. The financial debt profile shown in the graph shows our amortization for the following years, and you can see there that we don't have amortization in 2016 or 18, but most of our debt is, as usual, composed by bond maturities in the long term. Page number 8, all ratios are slightly better than last quarter in terms of gross margin, operating margin, and adjusted EBITDA margin. So we have been showing improvements as our costs are going down, and also our prices are slightly going up during this first quarter. As I already told, our net financial debt to adjusted EBITDA last 12 months is 4.3 this time, and it should be going down from the rest of the year. The other leverage or debt ratios are also going slightly down compared to what was the end of last year. Now, if we go to each of the business segments, we can start page 10, reviewing the pulp segment. You can see that our sales were $500 million, which is a reduction of 4% compared to last quarter. The price went up, the average price 2.7%. We have a reduction in volume of 6.1%, which is basically explained by two factors. One is that we have a higher than normal volume of sales in the last quarter of last year, which is normally cyclicality. We have better sales at the end of the year. And also we have a little bit of reduction in the first quarter of this year because of the strikes in the ports in Chile at the end of March, which made us a reduction of approximately 2% in the volume that we were expecting to sell in the pulp division. Those volumes are carried over to the fourth quarter, so there's no sales lost, but there was a small reduction in the sales that could be accounted for the first quarter. Year over year, we are increasing 4% our sales, which is basically explained by a small increase in 0.4% in average price of pulp. In terms of the market, during the quarter, the situation in Europe continued to be difficult, with some integrated producers in Europe moving some spot volume to other markets like Asia and China. The markets in Middle East and Latin America continue to be stable. In terms of production, we had a very good production quarter during the first quarter of 2013 with 800,000 tons of production, which is one of the best quarters that we ever had. And this is basically explained by a very good production in our mills, a very stable production without any stoppage in our mills. And we hope to keep it the same way during the year in order to to have better cost and better production during the year. If we go to page 11, talking a little bit about the outlook for the market, we have been seeing price increases month by month during the quarter, and also April and May, we have been able to increase prices, and we also have announced some small increases for June in what is softwood. So we expect to have better average prices for the second quarter as the prices continue to go up, and also some of the sales that some of the increasing prices in the first quarter are carried over and invoiced in the second quarter. We are now reaching the summer season in the Northern Hemisphere. There is always a complicated season, which is more difficult to continue pushing prices. So we have to wait a little bit and see what happens in the market. The prices for hardwood are being held stable for June. And I think we have to wait a little bit to see how is the demand coming from the market in order to see if we can continue raising prices or we are going to be more stable in the prices for the rest of the year. The situation in Europe hasn't changed, and it's difficult because the demand for paper continues to go down. The demand in Asia has a positive outlook. We have seen very good demand from China, and that has helped us increase prices during April, May, and June. The spread of the NBSK and DHKP is 38 dollars per ton at this moment. In the net prices, fibers are more or less the same in markets like China for softwood and hardwood. In terms of inventory, in days of inventory in March were higher for BHKP from 34 days to 41 days, which is somehow normal as the producers start accumulating inventory again after decreasing at the end of the year. The inventory days for BHKP stood stable at 29 days. Now if we go to page 12, to the panel segment. Here we can see an increase of 6% in sales, which is basically explained by increasing in sales of energy. That's why you don't see any average price movements or volume movements in what is the normal side of the business of sale of panels. So the average price year over year were 2% lower. And you can see a big increase in volume year over year, basically explained by the acquisition of Flakeboard that was done in September last year. So that's the explanation of the 50% increase in volume. The volume sales of MDF have been increased compared to the last quarter, and the growth is mainly explained by increasing supply from North American markets. We are seeing a strong plywood demand in the markets as the housing sector in the U.S. is recovering, and prices are also going down. In terms of production, the production was more or less the same as the fourth quarter, and almost 1.2 million cubic meters for the quarter. Page 13, the outlook for the panel market is very good in terms of MDF and panels and molding. We have seen strong results in the that will be carried forward to the second quarter because of the sales recovery after the strikes in ports in Chile that affected also the panel sales and the sawn timber sales. Prices continue to go up, and we expect for the future of molding to have stable volumes and average prices. We see strong production in the USA, or mills are producing very well in Venezuela and Moncure, and we are optimistic for MDF in general in the US. In particle board, we have seen higher average price in Argentina. The situation is with strong orders in Brazil and USA, but with similar prices, the situation in particle board is a little bit different, and the prices are not going so fast up, so but we have volume, very good volumes. The outlook for plywood is positive for demand and average prices. Here, the only problem for us is that we have still reconstructing our plywood mill that burned last year, so we have our capacity reduced for the rest of the year. We should be able to start producing in the new mill at the end of this year. If we go to page 14 for sawn timber, here we have a reduction in sales of 10%, which is basically explained by a lower average price of 11%. This reduction in average price is basically explained by the mix of product that we sold during the quarter, which was more skewed to products of lower prices, not necessarily lower margins, and that's the explanation of the decreasing average prices of the different products that we sell in the sawn timber division. The real estate and construction sector in the United States continue with a positive growth, and we are seeing a strong Chinese demand. Our production was higher than the last quarter, or almost 700,000 cubic meters of production. Page 15, in terms of outlook, we also expect to have a second quarter better than the first quarter, and this is explained by prices that are being going up, and in this side of the business, you close prices and you produce the product. So sometimes the shipment and the actual sale is almost 1 or 2 months after the closing of prices. So there's a carry on in the invoicing at higher prices of the product. So the prices in the increases in the first quarter should be reflected more in the second quarter. In the graph below, you are seeing the housing starts, which at March was a little bit over 1 million houses on a yearly basis. The index for April had an adjustment and stood at 853,000 houses, but I think we have to wait and see what happens with the next numbers. But we think that the trend should continue as the housing sector recovers and we start replenishing all the houses that weren't built during this almost a 4-year crisis in the housing sector. The other markets, like Asia, Middle East, Latin America, are very active, and we have seen the same good demand for many quarters right now. Now, a couple of slides about the first quarter of subsequent events. We have some news that starting with the inauguration and the start of production of the Guayaquil MDF line that started producing at the end of February. It was a $166 million investment and has a production capacity of 500,000 cubic meters of MDF. And the sales of this line will be basically oriented to the local market as all the production that we do in Brazil. In terms of the advance in the Montes del Plata mill, we are advancing at more or less 85% of completion. We are testing equipment, advancing in different fronts in order to be able to start the startup process during the third quarter of 2013. We expect that probably our pulp will be reaching the market during the fourth quarter of this year. And page 18, some other news. So we just closed a deal with Codelco, the copper producer in Chile, and we won a tender offer to supply 58% of non-conventional renewable energy for 5 years. That is, we sold non-conventional renewable energy certificates for them in order to comply with the needs that they have to fulfill this year. And we'll be supplying this credit from different power plants, each of those fueled by renewable forest fires. And also, of course, we published our 2012 sustainability report during the last month. Those are the news that we have for the quarter. I would like now to open to any questions that you might have about the information that I'll give you or the information that we have sent you over the with the press release.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we pull for questions. Our first question comes from Lucas Ferreira, J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, Jim Franco. Good morning. Thank you. Thanks for the call. I have two questions tonight. My first question related to the panel business. I would be happy if you could give us a brief review of the business plan of the panels business going forward. You already spoke a lot of about the accomplishments of the plate board and the new mill in Brazil. But from now on, I mean, do you think there is further upside to operations or to margins, let's say, and profitability of the mills in the U.S., North America? This would be my first question related to Flayport and about Brazil. If you think there is still opportunities to grow there, I mean, I think you still have some additional woods to be used for the construction of further mills. But at the same time, you are on a deleveraging pace and reducing capex and by adjusting all of the investments you've been making in the past years. So when are you going to be in a position to grow again expand more in Brazil? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Luca. Regarding the panel business, probably you have seen in some presentations I have made before that we have grown a lot in panels. Remember that at the beginning of 2000, we didn't have almost any production capacity in panels, and we have grown from almost zero to now being the third producer in the world, having almost 6 million cubic meters of capacity. So the growth has been very impressive by building greenfields and by acquiring companies in Brazil, in Argentina, in the U.S., in Canada. So at this moment, what we want to do is consolidate our investments and try to get up all the synergies in the acquisitions that we made and try to have a very good ramp-up in the new mills that we have built. So in terms of the U.S., we are working in order to give the flake board all the tools that we can provide from Chile in terms of recently what we did in financing, but also in terms of systems, SAP, and ways of doing business that could help each other, giving them the knowledge that we have in our operation, and also getting from them the way of doing business in the U.S. and how they manage the mills with less people to be more productive and more in a lean way of doing things. So I think our plans for the next 2 years, as also we are trying to deleverage, is to consolidate our investment. We don't think we're going to be increasing capacity. We have a lot of things in our hands now, and I think that we won't be seeking new acquisitions or new mills probably in the next 2 years. In Brazil also, I mean, we just finished this 500,000 cubic meters MDF mill that is producing. We are using with this new mill the forest that we have bought and we have planted in the past. So I think that we are going to try to generate a lot of cash in these 2 years, deleverage, put our efforts and our human resources in trying to optimize our production. Now, you have to think that we used to be almost a Chilean operation, and now, in terms of volume, our first country in volumes is the U.S., then Brazil, then comes Chile, and afterward Argentina. So we have different countries, different languages, a lot of mills in different parts that we have to take care of. And in that respect, I think that we shouldn't be growing for the next 2 years, while we consolidate these new acquisitions and new investments.
Thank you. My second question relates to the construction of our Monte del Plata mill. You mentioned in the presentation that you're already very close to the startup, And I was wondering if you could give us an update on how much volumes you plan to ship this year, and as you're also close to the startup, if you already have a committed part of those volumes with clients, if you are already in a point to start selling or arranging contracts around this new volumes. Thank you.
Pardon me, this is the operator. We have some technical difficulties. You'll join the speakers back at the conference shortly. Please hold. Thank you for your patience.
Hello? Sorry again, the line was cut off, so I'm back here. Sorry, Lucas. You still there?
No, Lucas is out, but I'll introduce our next questioner, Roy Yakulik from Bank of America.
Thank you. I have just a few questions, wondering if you'll give any guidance, and I guess it relates to the fact that you're on review for downgrade from Moody's, and I've had some bond investors who are concerned about that. Do you have, it's positive that your net leverage declined quarter over quarter. What do you see net leverage being at the end of the year? Have you been in discussions with Moody's, or where would they like to see it by the end of the year? Will you meet their target? And so what should net leverage be this year, and what is the CapEx this year and next year? Thank you.
Yes, we have a plan of reducing leverage. I mean, we haven't discussed any fixed targets with Moody's. I mean, but we show them our plan, which is basically based on having more cash generation as our investments that we have done the last 2 years are maturing and producing, and also of our reduced CapEx program. The CapEx of Arauco was the last 2 years over $1 billion, and this year we have budgeted about a little bit less than $500 million. So that allows us to have a very good free cash flow generation, and we expect that our leverage should be around 3x at the end of the year. That's more or less our plan. And in the next year, 2014, also should be a year of low CapEx. The $500 million that I told you before has a little bit of the legacy projects that we're still making, which is some of the equity that we are putting in Monte de Plata, the reconstruction of the Nueva Aldea mill that's still going on this year, and a small portion of the MDF mill that started producing in March. So our maintenance capex could be lower than $500 million on 2014 also. So that year could be another year of free cash flow generation. So we expect to reduce it quite quickly because of these reasons.
And just one follow-up. What is your maintenance capex now if you don't have any of these other things like the legacy investments related to Monte de Plata, the Panos mill in Brazil, or the replacing the Nueva Aldea mill? What is maintenance capex?
I think that should be between $350 to $400 million. I mean, we spend planting about $200 million a year, which is the replanting of the forest that we cut. And the rest are many small projects that we do on maintenance of the other mills that we have everywhere. So I think that between $350 to $400 is totally the minimum. But it's a lot less than the $1 billion that we have been spending.
Sure. And I'm sorry, what was the planting capex again? I missed it. $100 million, did you say?
No, about $200.
$200 million. Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
My next question comes from Diego Vieira with Goldman Sachs. Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for the call. I have two questions related to Monte del Plata. The first one being if you already have an exact date for the startup. And the second, I would like to know how is the wood supply situation for the mill. I mean, how much of third-party wood you should use in a first moment, and how should that progress in the coming years? Thanks.
Yes, the first question, we don't have an exact date yet. I mean, we are advancing on many fronts, so that's why we cannot say an exact date. And also, the startup of these kind of projects are quite complicated. And you start with the boiler first, and then the electricity in some sites. So it's very difficult to say when do you start the meal exactly. I mean, probably the first bale of pulp coming from the pulp mill is the official date, more or less. But we don't know yet. Probably we will know as we advance through the year. But right now, we are only saying that we will start up. The startup process will be done during the third quarter of this year. Regarding the wood supply, the amount of third-party wood, I think, I'm trying to remember exactly, but I think it was roughly about 15% using a third-party wood at the beginning, 15 to 20%, and then decreasing. And I think that in 3 years or so, we were able to be at 100% of our own forest. That was more or less the plan I remember. I haven't seen the new data as the project has been delayed. The original startup, remember, was in March, so probably those numbers have decreased as the consumption of wood is postponed for 6 months. So, but roughly those numbers, 15-20%, and in 3 to 5 years, we should be in 100% own consumption of wood.
That's helpful already. Thanks.
We have a follow-up question with Lucas Vieira with J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, Jim Franklin. I had a question also on Montes del Plata Mill, just on a commercial standpoint. If you already have commercialized part of the volume that should be produced this year, and exactly how much you would expect to sell from the mill in 2013. Thank you.
Okay, no, we haven't closed deals with the volume right now. I mean, as you know, the half of that volume will be integrated in our distribution network, will be sold under the Arauco brand. So it will be sold to the same, more or less the same customers. We're going to do some logistic distribution and probably most of the pulp will be tried to sold in Europe. And we will move the volume that we were selling of hardwood from Chile to Europe to Asia because of the advantages in logistics. It's too early, and the volumes that we'll be able to sell this year would be quite low. I mean, if you start producing in the third quarter, then you have to start filling your warehouses, then you put it in vessels, and So the volume that will be going to the market shouldn't be a lot in this year. So the next year, of course, will be a lot higher because we should be ramping up production in we hope less than 6 months. So we could have almost a full year of production in 2014. But the volume, I don't think, is going to be a lot. That will be going to the market this year because of the ramp up and the delay that we experienced in the start process.
All right, thank you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then one. To ask a question, please press star then one. Showing no further questions. This concludes the question and answer session. At this time, I would like to turn the floor back over to Mr. Gianfranco Sotelo for any closing remarks.
Okay, thanks. Thank you for attending. As usual, if you have any follow-up questions, just send us an email or give us a call to our Investor Relations office, and we'll be holding the new conference call with the first half numbers, I think, at the end of probably August of this year. And then we will meet and probably have some more news about the different projects and markets that we're in. Thank you all again, and I'll see you in August.
Thank you. This does conclude today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at this time. Have a nice day.